15. going to start. And it says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country, and he sent him into a field to feed his swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk of the swine, that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he had come to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's house have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? And I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called the son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found, and they began to be merry.'" Let us pray. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just want to thank you at this time. Lord, we thank you for another opportunity that you've given us to assemble ourselves together as brethren, Lord God, to worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord Jesus. Now, Lord God, you know the needs that are out there, Lord. You know the needs of your people, Lord. You know the conditions of your people today, Lord. Now, Lord God, we ask that you meet everybody's need as you see fit, Lord God. We know that your hand is not too short, Lord God, to meet us right where we're at, Lord God. So, Lord God, we're asking that you have your way tonight, right now, Lord. Lord, we're praying that your anointing just falls on this word right now, Lord. Lord, don't let your word fall on deaf ears right now, Lord. But, Lord, let us be doers of your word and not just hearers only, deceiving ourselves. Now, Lord God, just take over right now. Let your spirit fill this place right now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, just have your way. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Can we all say in Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. You can all be seated at this time. Like I said, what a wonderful surprise it is to be standing up here tonight. I did not come here expecting to be preaching what the word says. Be always ready. And I thank God that he has blessed me with a mind to want to stay in his word. But, you know, this scripture, this passage of scripture, I can take it personally. I can actually say I've lived this scripture. You know, my mother, Sister Sharon, some of you might know her, some might not, but she is a member of this church, and she is my mother. She raised me under a Christian household. Not strict, but stern, biblical, godly principles, righteousness, holiness, you know. And, you know, once I hit the age of, you know, teenage years, I think I was like 16 or 17 when I decided, you know, I can't do this no more. I'm not doing it, man. So, you know, I went against my mother. I went against her rules. I went against her morals, the values that she installed in me, and I decided to do my own thing. I decided to make my own decisions. And we're gonna get into this a little more with the scripture. But I really appreciate this passage of scripture because it's, you can actually take this personally. You know I have. And well, let's just dive right into this. But before that, I do want to give a little analogy to explain the scripture and what it means. This, what I have in this bottle right here, is on the bottom is water. On the top is oil. Now, what I want you to, when you look at this bottle, I want you to imagine the bottle itself, the plastic bottle, is the world. And let's say we are the water because, you know, Jesus is the true and living water. So we drink of that, we will never thirst again. And we'll label the oil as the world, all right? So if I shake this bottle up, make sure that top is on, I'm gonna get you. If I shake this up, does it look mixed? Yeah. It's mixed, right? All right. Now I'm gonna let this sit for a little bit. I'm gonna let that sit there for a little while. All right. And I want you to see what happens to that, because that represents us in the world. All right. So starting with verse 11, and a certain man had two sons. And just to bring you up to speed on what's going on here is, you know, God is giving the Pharisees and the scribes different analogies on why it is that he does certain things. And in this particular one, the scribes and the Pharisees were angry, jealous at Jesus, because in the beginning of this chapter, Jesus sat down with the sinners and the as the scripture says, the publicans. And so the scribes looked at him and was like, hey, why are you sitting with these guys? You're supposed to be the Son of God. You saying that you're the Son of God, you God in the flesh. You sitting down, you eating with sinners and stuff? So they, out of jealousy, they got mad at God. You know, they wanted Jesus' influence on people the way he had. And so everything that Jesus did, they had something to say about it. And so God, this particular passage where we're reading from is an analogy that God has given me. And just to explain why it is that he does what he does. And so in verse 11, it says, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. So the younger son, like me personally, I use myself as an example, you reach that age where he thought, oh, I'm good. I don't need you no more. I don't need to be under your roof anymore. I'm grown. I can make my own decisions. You know? Mom, I remember telling my mother the first time I moved out, I was like 17 years old, and you know, I thought I was a man. And so I'm like, I felt like I have my mom supporting me. You know, and I made the decision to leave my mother's house because I thought that I could take care of myself. I thought I knew it all. I thought that I didn't need my mother to take care of me and support me anymore. So I moved out. And what a journey it started for me. And so, like the younger son of the younger son of the father, it was like the same action. He said to his father, Father, man, I'm getting too old for this. I need to be out on my own. I gotta do my own thing. There's so much stuff, you know, that's going on in the world. I need to go make a way for myself. Not knowing how blessed he was just being in his father's house, under his father's guidance, under his father's covering, under his father's morals and values. And it's not even that it's his father's morals and values. His father was a godly man. And so he conducted himself under God's morals, values, and biblical principles, and righteousness and holiness. And so his son wanted out of that. And so in verse 13, and it says, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey. Took his journey. Now I want to stop at that word journey, because a journey, different from, let's say, leaving, means that when a journey, I'm gonna go there, we journeyed, we went to Georgia, and then we came back. We went to New York, and then we came back. That's a journey. We're gonna journey, we're gonna go here, but we're coming back, right? So I like that word, I like the wordage of how Jesus put this. He said, and he took his journey. I know I took my journey when I stepped out of the covering of my mother's house. I took my journey, but I thank God I'm back. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So it says, he took his journey into a far country and there wasted his substance with riotous living. With riotous living. Now it says, so he left his father's house and went his own way. He took the portion, the substance that his father gave him, and I imagine, you know, it's almost like a situation of like a will or something like that. Maybe his father promised the two sons, listen, I'm gonna give you this once you get of a certain age. And I know with my kids have bank accounts, and you know, we make deposits in their bank accounts, but they can't touch it until they turn like 18. So I imagine the son, let's just say the son turned 18, and he went to his father and said, Father, I want my money. I want what's in my bank account. So he was of the age, and his father gave it to him. So he took his journey. And it says that he wasted his substance. Now, I don't want you just to think about money. I want you to think about how he was raised with godliness and holiness and with morals and values, with kindness, with a heart. He wasted his substance with riotous living. He wasted his godliness. He wasted his morals with riotous living. And I like the word riot, because riot, the definition of riot means disorder, wild, just crazy, just out of whack, just everything is unorganized. So he wasted. I imagine he's going to clubs and he's drinking and he's trying to be with this one and that one and just riotous living, getting high, drinking and whatever. So he's wasting his godly morals that his father trained him up to be. The scripture said, train up a child in the way that it should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from me. Even though he might be taking his journey, he did not depart. He's on a journey. He didn't depart. So he's out there, he's doing his thing. You know, he's flashing his money. Yo, he's out there, maybe he's on the street. You know, maybe he bought a horse or something like that. I know they didn't have cars back then, so he probably bought him a nice stallion. And came up, riding up in the town, like, yo, what's poppin', what's up? It's good. A camel. A long hair camel. So he, you know, he pulled up into town. The man, he's an unfamiliar face, so I imagine everybody's like, and he had money, and he's clean looking. He's not in the world, remember, he's not in the world. And you see, I hope you see what happened here. So He pulled up, he rolled up, let's say, and he's looking clean. He just came from his father's house. He had money. He had shoes, like sandals and stuff on his feet. So I imagine everybody was drawn to him, like, yo, who are you? What's up? What's good, man? How are you? So instantly, okay, he became the man. Let's just say instantly he became the man. And so I know some of our older folks, you've been out there. And we know that if you have anything, the world is gonna use you for that. They are gonna tap you dry, they are gonna suck you dry until you have no more. And this is what happened to the prodigal son. And so he wasted everything that he had with riotous living, which is wild living. Whatever he wanted to do, he just did. And so in verse 14, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. So what this is saying is that he had no more. He had no more money. He had no more for his friends to use him with. And so when everything that he had was gone, they were gone. They were gone. And so he was left by himself. Pride. Lifted up in pride. Right then and there, he could have like, oh man, what did I do? I didn't want to make a bad decision. Let me just go back to my father's. But he did. He was lifted up in pride. And so he still made the decision. He made the decision to try to continue on this journey by himself. And so the latter part of verse 14, remember, he had no more. He had no more. Everything that he came into town with, I'm pretty sure he might have sold his camel for money. He might have sold his camel for money. I know that's what I would have did. But it says there was a famine in the land and he began to be in want. So after a while, you get hungry. And if you don't have no money, you're not eating. I mean, you could go in garbage cans and stuff like that, but you're not eating. So I imagine by him searching and just looking, he began to get a little dirty. He began to get scruffy. His sandals began to wear a little bit. They weren't gleaming like they were when he first walked into town. And so in verse 15, it says, he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country. So I imagine he got a job. He got a job. But I don't want you to think about the way we work. They did not operate with money like we operate with money. They operated with goods, oats, corn, sheep, oxen, cattle, and stuff like that. And so he got a job because he was hungry. He got a job. And verse 15, he joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his field to feed the swine. Now, how many of you know about pigs? Swine need pigs. I know you do. How many of you know about pigs? And I don't mean that in a way. I know he worked on a farm growing up. That's what I mean by that. So I don't want anybody to misunderstand me. I just get that straight right now. So he got a job working in the swine field. And we know that pigs are the most dirtiest animals that were created. They will eat anything. They will wobble in mud and in their own feces and stuff like that. And so he got a job, one of the dirtiest jobs in the world. He got a job. Now check out the payment of the job. The payment of the job was that he could eat, let's read it in verse 16, and he would faint have filled his belly with the husk of the swine that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. No man gave unto him. So in order for him to eat, he had to get down on his knees with the dirtiest, nastiest animal and eat side by side with them. Look at where he came from and look at where he is now. Look at where he came from and look at where he is now. Because of his own decisions that he made. He thought he knew it all. He thought he was a man. He thought, I could take care of myself. I don't need daddy no more. I don't need to be under your roof no more. But just like the scripture describes, everything starts out good. When you're out there, everything starts out good. It's lovely. But there comes a time when you're going to be in want. There comes a time when that void that you have inside of you cannot be filled with any riotous living. It cannot be filled with any man, any woman, any car, any house, any popularity, whatever's out there. It cannot be filled. As you see, on his knees, his hands and knees, eating pig slop with the pigs. Hallelujah. I can take this personally because I was down there. I was eating with the pigs. I was side by side with them, getting dirty. I was scruffy. I had no more. I was in want. But I thank God that, just like the prodigal son is described in the scripture, that he came to himself. He's seen the results, the consequences of his decisions. Ungodly decisions that he made. Unethical, immoral decisions that he made. He's of the consequences of it. Side by side with pigs, eating pig slop. He is royalty. I imagine his father was wealthy. He didn't have to do that, but because of his own pride, that's where it led him. Hallelujah. The scripture says in verse 17, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's house have bread enough to spare? And I perish. He's perishing. He said, I perish with hunger. I perish with that void. The world right now is perishing with a void that only Jesus Christ can fill. They search in all the wrong places. They go into clubs. They go into bars. They go into liquor stores and different drugs they experiment with, and men and women. They're trying to fill this void, this hunger, with temporary fixes. I say temporary because when you start it, it seems like, oh, this is it. But let some time go by, just like what happened to the prodigal son. You're still in want. You still have a hunger. Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah. I remember the first time I went to a club. I was like, you know, I was excited and everything like that. And so I got in there, I was doing my thing, you know what I'm saying? And then after about an hour, it was the same thing. So I remember standing next to a speaker too, at that. This thing is banging in my body, in my ears and everything. And I'm just like, this is it. This is it. This is what everybody is so excited about. This is what everybody is, oh, I know to this day, I mean, people are talking about it today, where they're going to be tonight. And I'm just like, wow. I remember thinking, this is it. That void. Only Jesus Christ can fill that void. You don't need to go anywhere else outside of Christ. Because you're still going to be in want. You're still going to have a hunger deep down inside of you. The devil's going to keep feeding you stuff. He's going to keep feeding you temporary fixes. But the hunger pains are going to come back. They're going to come back. In verse 18, so when he came to himself, he tried everything. He realized everything that he tried did not fill that void, did not fill that hunger. So he came to himself. He humbled himself. That's a form of humility. Saying to yourself, oh, I know I messed up. I made a bad decision. You know what? I'm just going to humble myself and go to my Father. He said, I'm going to go to my Father. And I will arise and go to my Father. And I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, number one. And before thee. So he humbled himself. And he's thinking to himself as he's down. I imagine he said he came to himself and he was down there eating pig slop with the pig. He came to himself and he remembered where he came from. He remembered his foundation. The foundation his Father had poured out for him. He remembered that. Even though on that foundation, with bad decisions, he built up a house that looked like a shack. But the beauty of having a solid foundation is that as long as the foundation is solid and straight, you can tear anything down on top of that and rebuild. And that's what he's doing right now. He said he came to himself, and he's thinking to himself. He's telling himself, he's playing it out. You know, I can't do this no more. I can't be on this journey anymore. I gotta go back. So he's thinking to himself, how am I gonna approach my Father? I feel so bad. I feel so condemned. So he's playing it out. He said, I will arise and go to my Father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me one as thy hired servants. He knew he admitted his wrong. And even in his wrong, he became grateful for everything that his Father had done for him. How his Father raised him. And so out of his gratefulness, out of his humbleness, he said, when I go back, I don't even want to be my Father's son. I don't even want to be the heir to my Father's property, his kingdom, let's just say kingdom. I just want to be a servant. I just want to work for you. Just bring me back. Bring me back to where I first started. He said, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Just make me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when his father was yet a great way off, his father, hallelujah, his father saw him. Now I want you to think about that. While he was a great way off, his father saw him. Now I want you to think about this. His father, every single morning, got up with the anticipation that my son is coming home. So he woke up every morning on the hill like, but he did it every single morning. Every single morning, he woke up with the same anticipation. My son is coming home. He's praying. He's fasting. He's trusting in God. His faith is firm that God is going to answer his prayers. And I thank God because I'm a witness. God answered my mother's prayers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So his father saw him a great way off. And he said, a great way off. And his father saw him and had compassion. He had compassion. He didn't go to his son like, see, didn't I tell you? Didn't I? Get you behind in this house. Didn't I tell you? I told you, you leave my house, what's going to happen to you? No, he had compassion. He was happy to see him. Son, I love you. Son, oh, so glad you're home. I love you. I'm so glad you're home. Don't worry about it. His son's trying to tell him everything that happened. No, don't worry about it. You're home now. You're safe. You don't have to go through the things you went through anymore. You don't have to try to fill a void with all this empty stuff that means nothing. You're home now. You're back under my covering. You're back in my safety. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You're back. I love you, son. He said he ran to his son and fell on his neck and kissed him. He was so happy to see his son. His father knew what was out there. His father knew all the empty deceit that is out there. Trying to fill a void that only God can fill. His father was so happy. My son is home! Isn't that what Jesus did for us? I know he did that for me. I thank God for the mercy. I thank God for his kindness. I thank God even though I was out there running enemy's territory, God's hand was still on me. Even though I made bad decisions to go my own way, God's hand was like this right on my head. I was holding the whole time. His hand was right on my head. He said, no, I'm not going to leave you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Even though you're in this club acting stupid, even though you're in this dangerous neighborhood where they shoot and stabbing people, my hand is on you. Hallelujah. Straight bullets whizzed up by me. His hand was on me. He shielded me. While I made my own bad decisions, he was still there. My mother was still praying. The church was still praying. They still had the anticipation that I was going to come home. Just like the prodigal son. Just like the father. He woke up every morning looking for his son. He's coming home. I know he's coming home. Hallelujah. Thank God for his mercy. I thank God, even though I was in my wildest living, God was right there by my side the whole way, protecting me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So his father had compassion. When he saw him over the hill, he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto him, his father stopped him. No, I don't even want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Don't even tell me nothing. I love you. I'm so glad you're home. Check out what the father did. He said, I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe. Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his finger, on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. His father was so happy. Just like God is so happy when we decided, when we made that decision to take him into our lives, to live under his godly principles, under his biblical principles. God threw a party for us. All the angels in heaven were rejoicing because we said yes to your will. The Father threw a party. I don't want nobody to say nothing about my son. He's home now. Forget about how he looks. Forget about how he's dressed. Forget about the dirt that's on his feet. Give him and bring the best robe. Bring the best ring and put it on his head. That's an example for us. We can't be so concerned about how people look when they walk into this place. We gotta be like the Father. We have to rejoice that they're here. And so the Father ordered the party. He had the fatted calf killed. Those of you who might not understand what that means, that's the best calf, the best, it's like, how you say it? For baby, it's so expensive I couldn't say it. I can't even afford to say it. So he had the fatted calf. He brought it forth, and you know they killed it. They partied and they were merry. He said, "For this, my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they begin to be merry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank God. I was once lost, but I thank God I'm found. I was lost. I was in the mix. I was caught up in the mix. And I was trying to fill a void with empty deceits. I was trying to fill my hunger with fake food. But I thank God that he was right there by my side. I thank God that his hand of protection was all around me. His angels were all around me. I thank God for that. I thank God that he blessed me with the mind, even though I was out there, a mind to still say, stop and say, this is it. This is it. He did not let me slip away into a reprobate mind. He did not let me be thrown away by the enemy while on his territory. Devil could have took my mind. He could have took my mind. He could have took my life. While I was dead. But thank God that he brought me back. And now I am alive. Just in closing, I know this is a young people's night. And so this message was geared for the young people, but this message was geared for people that are young in faith. People that are spiritually young, not just for young in age. This represents us. We are the water. This bottle is the world. The world is the oil. You saw how many times I shook it up. Now what happened? Jesus said, come out from among them and separate yourself. He's not telling us that to keep us from what we think is fun. He knows the enemy. He knows how he operates. He's not saying it so that we just sit there and just do nothing. I know, I grew up here. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't go here, you can't go there. But this is why God said that. This is why my mother said that. My mother told her to train me up in the way that he would have me to go. And when I am old, I will not depart from thee. I took a journey, I did not depart.
He was telling my brother to tell me that because he knew what was out there. He knew I was going to be on my knees eating pig slop. He knew where I was going to be by the decisions I was making. He was not saying that to be mean. He's saying that to protect you. God sits high and looks low. He sees the floor. Hallelujah. Young people, young people, young people. Only Jesus Christ can fill that void. Only Jesus Christ can fill that void. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're thinking. But only Jesus Christ can fill that void. Hallelujah. Only Jesus Christ can fill that void. It's not by accident that you are in the situation that you're in. It's not by accident that you're under the covering. It's not by accident that you are here learning the scripture, learning how to be a Christian, learning how to be on your way to heaven, learning how to be a servant of Jesus Christ. It's not by accident. It's not by accident. God has you here for a reason. He has you here for a reason. He put your parents in your life. He used your parents to parent you for his purpose. He used your parents to parent you for his purpose. Don't think that your mother and your father are being mean and being just trying to keep you from being yourself. Like I told my mother, I need to go, I need to be myself. I saw where myself got me. I just want to leave with this note. To all the young people, I don't care how old you are, I don't care how young you are, only Jesus Christ can fill that void. No alcohol, no drugs, no club, no man, no female can fill that void. When the time goes by, you're going to see that hunger and pain is going to come back. God bless you. Thank you.